You are listening to Foul Tips, your weekend podcast to catch you up on the week that was in the world of baseball. Let's do it.
Well, all right. It's been a few weeks since I joined you guys on a Saturday for Foul Tips. It's life gets in the way sometimes. You can't sit in front of a microphone and talk about sports all the time, as much as I would like to do that for a living. There's things that happen on a weekly basis, and but I'm glad to be back here with you guys again to talk some baseball, Foul Tips, part of the growing 1420 brand. We have some exciting news coming up in the next couple of weeks for the 1420 Sports Podcast, but in the meantime, we'll get back to Foul Tips. Like I said, it's your weekly baseball discussion, just me more or less getting some stuff off my chest and reminiscing. We'll talk a little bit about who's hot and who's not. Got another top five list for you again today. Top five villains in baseball in my lifetime. We're going to talk about that. Like I said, who's hot and who's not. But first off, we'll get to what's wrong with the game of baseball once again. It seems to be I don't want to say it's getting worse, but it's leveled off. That it's not getting better. And so I guess if you're not getting better, you're getting worse, as an old hockey coach told me one time. For me, I was getting worse on a daily basis. I wasn't getting any better. But anyways, get back to baseball. You can talk a lot about foreign substances on the balls. It's been a discussion this week, and pitchers are getting better. Deadened baseballs, the shift, the amount of strikeouts, and on and on and on. It all adds up to what's just been going on in baseball. It's been building for a number of years now, but it's taken a life of its own now. When Don Mattingly, who has a nickname of Donnie Baseball, as baseball fans know, when he comes out and says that baseball is basically unwatchable now, and that nothing happens, there's the occasional home run and a few base hits, and then nothing happens. That must have made Commissioner Manfred shaking his boots a little bit when Don Mattingly, who's still a manager in Miami, obviously for the Marlins, Chesterfield, Jeter's main man there. It's got to be concerning for baseball when Mattingly comes out and says that. When a person who's a member of the baseball community still comes out and has a statement like that that's unwatchable, that's not good. I agree with him 100%. Like, I'll watch games. I watched the Canada-Dominican game today. Fantastic game. Too bad didn't get enough coverage in Canada, but it was a great game nonetheless. I turned it off to Dominicans took, I'm a sore loser. Dominicans took a 6-5 lead at one point in the eighth, so I turned it off. But you just wonder what baseball can possibly do to make things better and how it got to this point in the first place. One, I think there's a lack of players who know how to play the game properly. As much as the Javi Baez running fiasco against Pittsburgh was the other day, and it was fun to watch, or last week, I guess, as fun as it was to watch, you got to be thinking, how the heck did that happen? When the Pittsburgh first baseman just had to step back, touch the base, inning was over. Is it because of the way the game is played today that these players are so robotic that they don't have any emotion? And I'll get to this, why I think that is. That they don't have any emotion about winning and losing anymore, and what it takes. Like, they're so robotic, and they don't have a thought process that the game, every out means something. And I think that's part of the problem. You watch a lot of teams now, this is the Yankee podcast, but I'll bring them up. The Yankees have been running themselves out of innings nonstop this season, running into ground ball outs, getting picked off on first base. I think the problem is because baseball, yes, it's an individualistic sport, that every individual matters for a team game. These players nowadays, they're the first generation, maybe not first, one and a half generation, I guess you could say, that are these pay-to-play teams and these travel teams and these not community-based teams. Like, a lot of these players, a lot of these kids went to, like I said, academies. They didn't play for their hometown team. They didn't play in the sand lot. They didn't play for their high school team. They played for these pay-to-play. And winning and losing didn't matter to these guys a whole bunch. this is my opinion. It's my podcast, so I can say it's my opinion. Whether you agree or disagree, if you can get back to me, please. But a lot of these kids, they worried about stats so much, and little Jimmy's stats, and little Hobby's stats, and little Bryce's stats, that the parents, I don't think, cared that much about if their team won or lost. I mean, back when I was a kid, you played, like we played across the street from my parents' place in the Lily Park, but you played for your team in your community, and then in your community league. And then if you made the all-star team out of your community league, you played for your community that went on to win and win and lose. We didn't care what our stats were, but like our community was beating that community and moved on to different things. It seems to me these kids they don't know how to play baseball. It just like there's so many, it's so individualistic. It's kind of ridiculous. Like with analytics and Moneyball and all this stuff, when you get to a state where you hear these stats the baseball analytics guys or the nerds like to call them, they come out and say that batting average doesn't matter. Batting average doesn't matter. But yet, on the other hand, they have an expected batting average stat. Like if you put that in perspective, if batting average doesn't matter, but there's a stat for expected batting average, put that into real life perspective. Let's just say I have another one, but the other night, the 1420 podcast, I had a car salesman analogy, but I'll get to another one here. If two car salesmen are battling head to head for one job, and the sales manager come up and said, "Well, Billy, we got to let you go. You sold 15 cars this month, but we're going to let you go. It's actual sales of cars doesn't matter." Billy would say, "Well, Bryce only sold 3 cars." "Yeah, but we expect him to sell more in the long term, so we're going to let him just run with it. He'll be better. Like he'll be better than you." But see how dumb that is? Think about how ridiculous that is. That expected batting average is a stat compared to, and they have in the meantime, they say that a batting average doesn't matter. Like an actual number that happened doesn't matter. Doesn't make a bunch of sense to me. I just find that the stats guys and all these analytics and the nerds, we talked the other night in the 1420 podcast with Dave, that batting coaches, how are they not doing their job? Like you got 5 or 6 guys who aren't doing their job. They got 5 or 6 guys in every team. They're batting under 200. Yes, pitching is better. And the foreign substance thing on the ball, we're going to talk about that on another podcast. The foreign substances, Josh Donaldson came out this week with names that he thought of guys that were doctor in baseballs, like Phil Niekro used to in the past. MLB went out and they said something this week. They went to the owners and said, "Hey, you guys got to get control of this or we will." There might be a change in that. But it just seems to me that on a night-in, night-out basis, the game is over early because teams don't score runs. Baseball's boring. Last night, the Yankee game, Michael King pitched a hell of a game, a phenomenal game. He gave up a 3-run shot in the first. The game was over. The producer and I were sitting there watching the game, and I said, "Well, the game's over." She goes, "Well, it's only the first inning. Yankees don't score more than 2 runs a game. They're the Bronx Bombers. They're the New York Yankees, and they don't score more than 2 runs a game." So when you get to that point, people are tuning the game out. They're not watching. It's concerning for me as a baseball dork that it's trending in this direction, and I don't know how they're going to get out of it. And with baseball being boring for a guy like me who loves it, how can you get kids to play? And now if kids aren't playing, kids aren't watching. So there's going to be a couple generations from now where baseball might not be around. I'm not saying it's going to be extinct. I said it's not going to be around. Like it's already struggling as it is, being America's probably 3rd or 4th favorite sport out there. You know, like back when I was a kid, when TWIB was on This Week in Baseball, Mel Allen, they don't have that anymore. Yes, the MLB Network has a similar show, but it's not the same as TWIB. If you don't have the MLB Network, you don't get it. So now TWIB doesn't have a thing. Like if you think about it, college football and the NFL, NBA has their show, but college football and the NFL, they have their pregame shows on Saturdays and Sundays, respectively, obviously, that people can watch, get to know the players, and on and on and on, and it becomes an all-day event. Baseball doesn't have that. Baseball needs that to get some more fan interaction and kids back in the game. And now you have all these travel teams, and this kids aren't playing Little League anymore. They're part of these all these travel teams. So now there's less of a sense of community with baseball like there was back when I was growing up. And that's got to be concerning for baseball. How do you fix it? I don't know. Get kids playing the game again somehow. Make it fun again. Get rid of all these stats. See ball, hit ball. There's got to be a way. Like, I know pitching in Major League Baseball is better than it's ever been, but the batter's got to get better. The hitting coaches have to get better. All these teams are struggling. You can't tell me, like we talked about the other night in the podcast, the 1420 podcast, you can't tell me that these hitting coaches are doing their job. All teams are struggling right now. They're all struggling. These guys, all they do is analyze swings and analyze this and analyze that. Get up and hit the ball. Put the ball in play. Games are boring. It's really boring. There's like Don Mattingly said, it's unwatchable. I watch because I'm hoping for best. Like there are still games. There is still action in every game that it's exciting to watch. But it has to get better for the evolution of the game, because the evolution of the game it's gone backwards, in my opinion. Man, like World Series, if you sat down and had a beer with me down here in the tavern, we could talk about World Series of the past back in the 80s and the 90s, and you could talk about that stuff. There wasn't a lot of memorable moments, like the 2016 Cubs. Obviously, that was a very memorable one just for nostalgia reasons. But the last few years, baseball's just been dull. And it's not because the Yankees are losing. Don't call me a sore loser. That's not the fact. I find baseball's just getting dull. Yankee game last night, 15 strikeouts. 15 out of 27 outs, nothing happened. That's not exciting. That's not good for anybody. Hitters got to learn how to hit again. They got this launch angle stuff. Put the ball in play. Make the game exciting for kids again, because it's very important. Anyways, here's my little rant about what's wrong with baseball. There's a lot of things right with baseball. One thing that's right with baseball is here in my neck of the woods in Alberta, the WCBL starting up on June 18th. Hopefully I get assigned to that game at Spitz Stadium here in Lethbridge. Put the assignments in yesterday. Who knows, put my name into the hat for umpiring again this summer. It's going to be nice to get back out on the field in WCBL fashion. It's great baseball. If you're in Lethbridge or if you're in Edmonton or if you're wherever you are, get out and watch a game. COVID restrictions are lifting. We're doing pretty good. If you're down in the States, make sure you guys go to a college. These college summer leagues, it's great baseball. Get to a minor league park. Enjoy the game for what it is. Get out, enjoy it. Have a hot dog, have a few beers, and enjoy it, because it still is, to me, the greatest game in the world. But it just needs a little bit of tinkering, a little bit of fixing up, because it still has the greatest potential for moments that we can't deny. Last year, last night in Alabama, women's softball, fast pitch, we call it up here in Canada. Montana Phelps, I believe her name was, for the University of Alabama. Crimson Tide, she perfect game, the FUCLA. Bruins last night, well, congratulations to her. She's going to be up for a Rick Award in the coming days. Things got changed up a little bit with the 1420 podcast because the men's golf league started at Fort McLeod. So we didn't have a show this Thursday. We're going to adjust our recording schedule for you guys. Once we get it finalized, we'll get it back out there. The 1420 podcast golf team, we went 6-2 in match play in the first week. So things are looking up there anyways. But back to baseball. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back to here really soon. All right, we'll get to this week's who's hot and who's not in the world of baseball. Obviously, the New York Mets, week in, week out, who's hot is the pitching phenomenon of Jacob DeGrom. Hey, that kind of rhymed right there, didn't it? Phenomenon DeGrom. Anyways, I don't know, whatever. DeGrom he's unbelievable. The guy is year in, year out. The numbers he puts up, he had a little scare with the arm tenderness last week, or a couple weeks back, but he's back and he's hot. 4-2 record this year. It's odd that a guy with a 0.71 ERA has a 4-2 record. Doesn't get much run support, but DeGrom, he's going to win the Cy Young. There's no getting around it. He's the best pitcher in baseball, not just in the National League, but he's 51 innings pitch, 82 strikeouts. Yes, the numbers are inflated because the way the game is played, like we discussed earlier, and often on Foul Tips and the 1420 podcast. But DeGrom, he's a treat to watch. He's also hitting 450. with a couple RBIs. He gives himself all the run support he needs. If he comes out and he can get a base hit to a game, knock a guy in, that's pretty much all he needs to win a baseball game. So who's hot in the world of baseball? Obviously, Jacob DeGrom. Who's not will stay in New York, and it's not because I'm a Yankee boy or anything, but who's not is Giancarlo Stanton. 3 for 23 since coming off a quad injury. He's always seems that the Tin Man has a quad injury at all times. 11 Ks in those 23 at-bats. Seemed disinterested at the plate. He's just zero interest, it seems to me. He hacking away at pitches. He has three hits are all just singles. No extra base hits, obviously. No home runs in 23 at-bats. Days off. He's just not my kind of guy to begin with. And then he hit some home runs in the playoffs last year, but I don't expect much from Giancarlo Stanton on a daily basis. He's it's his maintenance days and everything else that he gets. It's quite astonishing that happens, and that's the way the game's played now. Guys have these scheduled, and this isn't a hack on just the Yankees. It's every team. These guys have their scheduled days off to try to preserve them. You know what though? You got to win games. You got to be best guys going on a night in, night out, you know, basis. And I think that's another thing that's wrong with baseball is that they don't get hot and they can't stay hot. And there's no gut feeling anymore with players. It just seems to be a nonstop rotation of bodies in and out of the lineup. Goes totally against what Cal Ripken, how he played, Tony Gwynn, how he played. And the list goes on and on. Derek Chesterfield, just Anderson Jeter, obviously, but they would play until they were hurt or injured. You know, it's just a different game. I don't think it's right the way that the stats get these guys going. Pitchers I get sitting out because of the Tommy John epidemic that's out there. But players, they got to play. They got to get their at-bats. They got to stay hot and get in the groove, because sitting down every fourth day for maintenance days, I don't think does it. That's my own personal opinion. You got to put money in the equation. These guys get paid a lot of money. Get out there and play. So that's my who's hot, who's not. Who's hot? Jacob DeGrom, expecting to stay hot for the entire season throughout his career, because the guy is a stud, to say the least. And who's not, and he's not a stud, is Giancarlo Mike Stanton. Welcome back to Foul Tips, my weekly thoughts on the ins and outs of the world of baseball, not just Major League Baseball, but things throughout the college ranks, the minor league ranks, and everywhere else. But anyways, make sure you follow us on Foul Tips, or at Foul Tips 1 on Twitter, and we'll also intertwine with our other social media accounts on the 1420 podcast accounts. They all kind of just intertwine anyways, but make sure you follow Tips 1. Basically, just all your baseball information you could possibly need, or we'll start getting onto this a little bit more as the summer progresses. June, it's nice. The weather's starting to turn. It was really hot here in Southern Alberta this week, but it's good for baseball weather. Like I said, WCBL is coming back in a few weeks. Ballparks are starting to jam up with kids, which is nice. Back in the homeland of Fort McLeod, Alberta, Mom said there was a Little League game last week, which is nice to see. Got to get more kids out playing the game, as we talked about earlier on today's show. So at Foul Tips 1, your one-stop shopping for all your baseball needs. Anyways, Saturdays during the 1420 podcast, when I was doing solo shows without 1420 Dave, we'd do a top five list. Got a top five list again today. These will all be baseball ones during Foul Tips, obviously. Today we're going to do the top five villains in baseball. I don't want to say in history, because I don't know enough about the history of baseball before I was in the 1800s and the early 1900s. Yeah, you know Babe Ruth, you know Ty Cobb, but I don't know enough about them. But anyways, so when I do my top five list, I try to do it in my lifetime, because I can relate a little bit more and I give my my own opinion, not just stuff that I've read about these guys. So top five villains in baseball, in my lifetime in baseball, is how I want to put that. Number five on my list, Manny Ramirez, one of the greatest right-handed hitters of all times, one of the feared wherever he played. He could hit. He'd play decent defense. His problem was he didn't care enough, and his other problem was his addiction to steroids. Shouldn't have said addiction, but he had two positive tests, 50 game suspension and 100 game suspension, I believe it was. It was a lot either way. Went to play throughout Major League Baseball with the Dodgers, the Red Sox, the Indians. one of the most spirited hitters of all time, could hit like no one's business, steroids or no steroids, still going to put back to ball. But Manny had a horrible attitude. It's been reported that he got in a fight with Kevin Youkilis in the dugout with Boston. And then he threw the traveling secretary down at one point, the George Costanza, or Costanza the assistant to traveling secretary. I can't remember. But anyways, Manny Ramirez, great player. Manny being Manny was a thing. It was fun to watch if you weren't a fan of, if you weren't a big fan of baseball. Manny was always there for a laugh. But top five villains, absolutely, in my book, number five, Manny Ramirez. Number four, I went with a little bit a different route on this because I'm an arbiter myself and I umpire baseball. Once it gets going again, can't wait to get back out in the field. But anyways, I went with a two-pack of guys from number four villains of all time, and that's Joe West and Angel Hernandez. Joe West just passed the most umpires game ever just recently. And Angel Hernandez, he's always on TV for making bad calls. Joe likes to be the center of attention. It's almost like he makes bad calls on purpose to get himself on television. And Angel Hernandez, it's well documented how bad he is, and night in, night out. Just a couple of years back in the playoffs, he had three or four calls that got reviewed, and they all got overturned consecutively in one game. Angel's just a bad umpire. He sued the Major League Baseball Umpire Association for discrimination because he wasn't getting umpire assignments in the playoffs. Maybe, Angel, if you were a better umpire, you might get some assignments. And the thing we said about umpires in the past, and it's been said, it's not even coming from me, if you do a good job as an umpire, no one knows your name. They don't care. If you do a bad job as an umpire, everyone knows who you are and they know your name. And two guys who everybody knows their name in the world of baseball are Angel Hernandez and Cowboy Joe West. They're my number four villains of all time in my time in baseball. Number three, this guy took a turn for the worse. I used to love watching him pitch. He was with the Red Sox, the Jays, and he's with the Yankees, a little bit in Houston. Back the Yankees, I think it went and how it all worked out. But Roger Clemens, all-around bad dude, all-around narcissist, all-around just a cheater. Terrible, absolutely terrible the way this guy's career turned out. Seven Cy Youngs, you can't dispute his records. You can't dispute the strikeouts this guy got. But the steroid allegations, he was mentioned more than anybody in the Mitchell Report back in the early 2000s for his steroid use and blatant disregard for decency as a human being, basically, what it comes down to. Famous for his quote about Andy Pettit, how Andy Pettit misremembered something. I don't think that's even a word, but it's famous in the Roger Clemens vernacular now. Roger Clemens, who knows what he could have accomplished without steroids? He's a power pitcher. But who knows? Who knows what he would have been? Because he definitely benefited from the steroid era and made a lot of money. But disgraceful how it came about it. And the steroids thing, yeah, it was an error in baseball. We can't deny that it happened. We can't deny that hitters were doing it and pitchers. Not everyone was doing it, but a large percentage of players were doing it. But it seems to me like Roger Clemens relished in a little bit more, and he was a little bit arrogant towards it in the way that he thought he would never get caught. So anyways, that's my number three villain of all time. In my time, sorry, I got to quit saying that. On Foul Tips podcast, number three villain in baseball, Roger Clemens. She's a bit of a toss-up between two and one. I think you guys know my disdain for Alex Rodriguez, so you probably figured he'd be number one on my list, but I'm going to go A-Rod number two. Once again, narcissism, steroids, the denying it, getting caught a few times or a couple times and still denying it, getting suspended for X amount of games. The one thing that really bothered me about A-Rod was how everything had to be centered around him. Prima donna athlete, the arrogance, the steroids, the multiple suspensions, the lying about it. He fooled me for a little bit, the forgive in 2013. I bought a T-shirt, still have it upstairs from Bald Benny House of Tees in the Bronx. But the fakeness of A-Rod is what's really, really bothers me. A-Rod's there for A-Rod, and that was it. 2007, when he opted out of his contract in the middle of the World Series, just so he get more publicity, more people talking about him. A-Rod is a joke. Can't stand the guy. Never, like, he fooled me for a little bit, but the way he played the game, he would have been one of the best of all time, but the steroids and the arrogance and the lack of confidence, I guess, and needing people to watch him. All around bad dude, in my opinion. Phony as they come. Phony as a $3 bill, as my dad used to say. So A-Rod, you get my number two list of villains in my time in baseball. Number one, since I went with A-Rod, you got to think that everybody probably who's listening now to Foul Tips knows that Barry Bonds is the biggest villain in baseball in my time. Still to this day denies he never got caught. The Belco investigation, the lying, the way he treated the media who questioned his, not his abilities, but his steroid use, the way he acted with other teammates, the way he lied the entire time, how he ballooned up to this massive man that he is, breaking the home run record. Hank Aaron, who just passed away this year, didn't even go to the game or didn't follow him around because he was going to break Aaron's record, which he did, 756. Aaron didn't go, and he's a classic man. He was a good man, Hank Aaron. He didn't want to be part of the pageantry of Barry Bonds. Bonds was a great player without the steroids. Won three MVPs, I believe it was, in Pittsburgh before he went in a big free agent deal to San Fran. He's revered in San Francisco. They love him there, obviously. But throughout the rest of the league, he's not very well liked. Clubhouse staff never liked him. The reporters didn't like him. Nobody liked Barry Bonds more than Barry Bonds. It's kind of like how no one liked A-Rod better than A-Rod. Same thing. But I'm going to go with Bonds because the records that he broke, and without the care for the game of baseball, the tradition of baseball, and breaking these records and having no remorse, I guess, is for guys like Maris and Hank Aaron, and just to go about arrogantly and break these records without thinking about anybody but himself or the game of baseball. That puts Barry Bonds number one on my list for the biggest villains in baseball in my time. Couple honorable mentions. Pete Rose, the gambling scandal. We've all talked about it ad nauseum. I still don't think Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame. Yes, he admitted to gambling. And yes, he never bet against the Reds, but he could alter lineups to benefit him on a daily basis. And that, to me, is the worst thing you could do for baseball, is the way he can manipulate the game on a daily basis with his lineup construction. He gets an honorable mention. We talked about it before, the going turbo and spazzing out. You talk about a guy like Pedro Martinez. There's no excuse for what he did. He could have handled that much differently. Yes, I agree with 1420 Dave that Zimmer shouldn't have stormed on the field. But Pedro Martinez, the way he threw high and hard at people's heads, and the way he acted on the field that day with Don Zimmer, he gets an honorable mention just for that act alone. Great pitcher, Hall of Fame kind of guy, but he could have handled that situation a lot differently with old Zim. That was a disgraceful night there, I think it was in Boston. Shouldn't have happened. Zimmer, yes, he should not have went out there. Zimmer was going turbo, kind of a spaz. Pedro went turbo, not a good situation. So there's my honorable mentions for going spaz and going turbo. Anyways, been a pleasure once again to be with you guys on a Saturday. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Foul Tips 1, Instagram and Twitter and everywhere else, Facebook, where Foul Tips will be everywhere. We're going to get back in the swing of things on a weekly basis here to get to the world of baseball. We'll just have a quick rant, who's hot, who's not, at top five. Nice little quick podcast you guys listen to when you're doing the lawn or watching the game or doing your dishes, whatever you're doing. Baseball starting up. Get out and support your local teams. Get out to Major League game. If you have the wherewithal to do so, it's still a great game. It does need some fixing, but if you get back to me, we'll discuss this. If you think of anything else we can talk about on Foul Tips, baseball related, let me know at 1420sports@gmail.com. Happy to answer any emails, tweets, or whatever you want to do. We'll talk about anything baseball related here on Foul Tips. Once again, we've adjusted our schedule for the 1420 podcast. We'll get back to you on social media, what the dates are going to be. I know you guys missed out on the show earlier this week. Had some people complain a little bit, but we'll get me and Dave back on the air sooner rather than later, probably a Monday show. But thank you once again for listening to Foul Tips, and we'll talk to you guys again probably on Monday.